Part 1, Chapter 21, File 3. Now, question number 4. How far was the revolution of 1688 glorious and a revolution? Answer. Charles II breathed his last in 1685. He had no legitimate offspring and therefore declared his brother James his successor. His right to throne was challenged in 1680, but he faced no problem. At the time of his succession in 1685, James II invited a session of the parliament just after his accession. The Tory members of the parliament expecting the favor of the king. The parliament also sanctioned a huge amount for the expenditure of James II, but ultimately their relations became strained. James II was not farsighted like his brother Charles II. He had a strange quality of concealing his feelings, but James did not possess them. Southgate has observed about him, James, a man with some regard for truth, honor, and religion, where his brother had gone, resembled his father and grandfather in being unable or unwilling to conceal his wish for arbitrary powers and in openly referring to divine right. Charles II ruled for 25 years due to his qualities of head and heart. But James II had to flee away after 3 years of his reign. Charles II was himself not sure of the temperament of his brother, and once declared about his brother, "When I am dead and gone, I know not what my brother will do. I am much afraid that when he comes to wear the crown, he will be obliged to travel abroad." Now, domestic policy of James II. First, James II was a follower of the theory of divine right, and his chief object was to rule the country despotically. Second, he had faith in Catholic religion and wanted to re-establish Catholicism in England. Third, he knew it well that to achieve success in Europe and to establish mastery overseas, it was essential to raise his naval power, and he devoted himself to it. Fourth, James II had a great affection for Louis XIV, and therefore he wanted to establish cordial relations with France at any cost. Fifth, to establish his absolutism, he tried to remove the hindrance put before him by the Parliament on the basis of its rights and privileges which were bestowed on it in the reign of Charles II. Sixth, he maintained a standing army to face the external foes. Now, revolt of Monmouth. Monmouth was the illegitimate son of Charles II. The Whig leaders tried to declare him a successor of Charles II, but he did not agree to it and refused to put signature on the Bill of Excursion. Three short parliaments were dissolved on this very issue. The Whig leaders also tried to murder Charles through Rye House plot, but it failed, and the leaders of the plot were severely punished. After accession of James, the Whig leaders excited Monmouth to rise in revolt against him, and being provoked, Monmouth declared himself the legitimate heir of Charles II. He also gathered an army consisting of farmers and laborers. James also ordered his army to march against the rebels. A fierce battle was fought at Sedgemoor, in which Monmouth's army was defeated, being untrained and ill-equipped. Monmouth was imprisoned and death punishment was awarded to him. James II sent Chief Justice Jeffreys along with four other justices to punish the rebels. This bloody assizes awarded death punishment to about 3,000 persons and hung their dead bodies on roadsides and exiled about 800 persons. It terrified the people and a feeling of hatred rose against James II. Now James II and the universities of England. There were two important universities, Oxford and Cambridge, in England. Only the followers of Protestantism were appointed teachers in them. James II was afraid that Protestantism would flourish in England due to these universities. He wanted to employ Catholic teachers in the colleges affiliated to the universities, but this action was opposed. James exercised ruthlessness against the opponents and deprived them of their posts and property. Now, religious policy of James II. He was a staunch follower of Catholicism and wanted to re-establish Catholicism in England, like Mary Tudor. He repealed the Test Act, which was a hurdle in his way to promote Catholicism, and punished those who opposed Catholicism. He did not spare educational institutions and tried to impose his fanaticism in the universities. The followers of Catholicism were themselves afraid of the militant policy of James II and were afraid of Second Civil War in England, which would ruin the Catholics in England. Now the Glorious Revolution, 1688. The year of 1688 is regarded as a period of political and constitutional significance in the history of England. This year the people of England broke out in a revolution against the Stuart King James II and ended the constitutional struggle which had been continuing between them for several decades. The chief characteristic of this revolution was that it was purely a bloodless revolution. All the changes, in spite of being revolutionary, were affected peacefully. Therefore, the revolution of 1688 came to be known as a glorious revolution or a bloodless revolution. Now, causes of revolution. James had to flee England after just 3 years of his reign. The revolution of 1688 occurred due to the following reasons. First, lack of political farsightedness. James II was not as intelligent and farsighted as his father, who could rule over England for 25 years in spite of the adverse circumstances. But as James II was not equipped with such qualities, he failed to reign for a long time. He could never gain the confidence of his people for want of political farsightedness. His brother Charles II had already pointed it out, stating that, "When I am dead and gone, I know not what my brother will do. I am much afraid that when he comes to wear the crown, he will be obliged to travel abroad." The forecast of Charles II proved true when in 1688 James II had to flee England for want of efficiency and farsightedness. Now, revolt of Monmouth. Monmouth was the illegitimate son of Charles II. The Whig leaders wanted to declare him a successor of Charles II, but he refused to agree to this proposal. After accession of James, the Whig leaders excited Monmouth to revolt against James II, and he acted accordingly. A fierce battle was fought at Sedgemoor, in which Monmouth was defeated and was awarded death punishment. James sent Chief Justice Jeffreys along with four other justices to punish the rebels. These bloody assizes awarded death punishment to about 300 persons and exiled a great number of the rebels. People began to hate James II due to his absolute and tyrannical policy. F. Scively observes, "This ferocious official was not satisfied until he had executed victims, mostly poor and peasants, and had transported 840 unfortunates to the West Indies. The odium of these misdeeds fell, of course, upon the king." The partial religious policy of the king. James II was a follower of Catholic religion, whereas most of the people of England were the followers of Protestant religion. He endeavored to impose Catholicism on the people of England without caring for the spirit of the subjects. He not only failed in his designs, but also made the majority of his subjects his rival. He built a church in London in spite of the oppositions of the people of England. Besides this, he increased his army from 6,000 to 30,000, and most of the Catholics were recruited in it. This army was organized to strengthen the hands of the irresponsible king and to establish a military rule with the help of Catholic soldiers. He did not confine his religious propaganda to England only, but also extended it to Ireland and Scotland by appointing Catholic officers. They tortured the Protestant people. When the people revolted against the Catholics, they crushed them mercilessly. During this period, besides the people of England, the subject of Ireland and Scotland also became rebels. Now, issue of dispensing and suspending powers. James believed in the theory of divine right and the peaceful obedience of the people. It meant that the king was the representative of God on earth and he was not responsible to any court of law for his deeds and policies. James II was of the opinion that people should obey the commands of the king, violating the principles already in practice. He considered himself above judiciary and therefore he had the right to dispense with the laws. It was an illegal command. However, some of the judges approved it just to please the king. The king, having misused the spirit of the law, had released many prisoners from imprisonment. It annoyed the people because by violating the laws of the country, he was trying to restore the absolutism of the worst type. The English people could not tolerate and revolted against their king. Now, open violation of Test Act. Test and Corporation Act was passed by the Parliament of England in the reign of Charles II. According to it, only the followers of Anglican Church could be appointed on the government post. Besides this, those could also be employees of the government or who swore their faithfulness towards Anglican Church. Thus, Roman Catholics were debarred from appointment to the government post. But James II was a staunch follower of Catholicism. He wanted to make England a Catholic country. So he decided to violate the Test Act. He started appointing the Catholics to important high posts. Even educational institutions could not escape from his religious fanaticism. He suspended the Vice Chancellor of the Cambridge University, for he did not agree to award a degree to a Catholic according to the wish of James II. Thus, the king annoyed the people of England by violating openly the spirit of Test Act and by appointing Catholics in educational institutions and in administration. The Parliament also opposed James II for the violation of Test Act, but James II did not care for the opposition of the people and the Parliament. It strengthened the feeling of revolt against him. Now, arbitrary foreign policy. Southgate observes, tyrannical as was James II, arbitrary and unconstitutional as was his rule, the ultimate call of his fall is not to be found in matters at home, but in his attitude to European affairs. He established friendly alliance with France to meet his selfish ends. In fact, James II wanted to establish absolute monarchy in England with the military and economic help of France. As both the kings were the followers of Catholic religion, this alliance was strengthened, but the Protestants of England were against this alliance. They asked their king to break this alliance, but James II did not agree to it and annoyed his subjects. Now, Declaration of Indulgence. It has already been dealt with in the above lines that James II wanted to turn England into a Catholic country. He adopted a policy of religious intolerance to achieve this end, and appointed Catholics on significant posts, violating the spirit of the Test Act. In 1687, by the Declaration of Indulgence, he set aside all the restrictions imposed on the Catholics. But he was not satisfied with this declaration. In 1688, he declared another series of indulgences and thus annoyed the Protestants. He also ordered that these declarations would be read aloud in the churches on every Sunday. This act of James II generated a spirit of revolution in the people of England. Now, imprisonment of seven bishops. The Declaration of Indulgence was opposed throughout the country. Now, there were only two alternatives before the bishops. First, they should read aloud the Declaration of Indulgence against their feeling and religion, or secondly, they should violate the orders of the king. So, they selected the second alternative. Seven bishops under the leadership of Archbishop of Canterbury refused to agree to read aloud this declaration. They regarded it as treason and were ordered to be imprisoned. Charges of treason were framed against them, but they were declared innocent by the court of law. It pleased the Protestants, for the bishops were declared innocent. And on the other hand, it severely affected the political existence of James II. Now, birth of James II's son. When the people of England were merrymaking after the release of seven bishops, at the same time people got the information of the birth of the son of James II. The first queen of James II had two daughters, Mary and Annie. The second queen of James II had no offspring. Mary was married to the Protestant King William of Orange of Holland. Mary was also a follower of Protestant religion. As James had no son, the people of England were sure that Mary would ascend the throne of England after the death of the king, and Protestantism would flourish in her reign. But on June 10, 1688, his second queen gave birth to a son. It startled the people of England. They were sure that the son of James II would be educated in a Catholic school, and in case he succeeds, he would punish the Protestants like his father. They therefore revolted against the king. Southgate observes, "The causes of the fall of James II are to be found in the whole circumstances of his reign. He acted throughout in defiance of public opinion, the strength of which he was never able to estimate. He acted unconstitutionally in claiming and exercising the dispensing and suspending powers. He acted in defiance of the law in establishing the Ecclesiastical Commission Court. He alienated Tories and churchmen by his attacks on church and universities. His prosecution of the seven bishops was tyrannical. He attempted to overawe the nation by the maintenance of an army. Yet it is doubtful if the nation would have risen against him had it not been for the birth of his son. Now, outbreak of revolution. In this way, James II failed to get the support and cooperation of the people of his country due to the weaknesses of his character and shortcomings of the administration. Events of the imprisonment of 7 bishops and the birth of a son to James II took place simultaneously in 1688. Consequently, people belonging to different parties, forgetting their differences, invited William of Orange to save England. Scavelli also observes, as the birth of the son and the trial of the 7 bishops befell at the same time, that is June 1688, England was filled with excitement from end to end. Forgetting their differences, a group of Whig and Tory leaders sent a secret letter inviting William of Orange and his wife Mary to come to England's rescue. William of Orange accepted the invitation of the people of England and marched towards England along with a contingent of 15,000 soldiers and landed on the port of Torbay in England. The news about the arrival of William of Orange spread in the country like wildfire. At this occasion, if James II wanted, he could have controlled the situation by assuring his people to rule according to their will. But he was a man of obstinate nature. On the other hand, all his faithful officers of the army and his daughter Annie were against him. Now James II realized the real situation, but it was quite late. He cried out of disappointment, "God, be merciful, my own children have forsaken me." James II, being disappointed, fled away to France along with his children and wife, and he threw the seal of the state in the river Thames. Thus, the revolution was completed in England without shedding a drop of blood. There is no example of a similar revolution in history. F. Scavelli observes, "History doesn't report a revolution which was more swift and bloodless." Louis XIV, the King of France, welcomed the refugee king, James II of England. He provided a palace to him for his abode along with an amount of £80,000 for his maintenance. He lived in France throughout his life and breathed his last in 1701. The throne of England fell vacant due to fleeing of James II to France. The Parliament passed a resolution declaring Mary, the Queen, and William of Orange her regent, but William did not agree to this proposal. Another session of the Parliament was called on January 22, 1689, in which the Declaration of Rights was prepared, according to which Mary and William of Orange were enthroned jointly. Now, consequences of the Glorious Revolution. Mowat has described the Glorious Revolution of 1688. This revolution is not only a monumental event in the history of Britain, but it has got an unique place in the political history of the whole of Europe. A conflict between the king and the parliament began from the very beginning of the reign of Stuart dynasty. It was based on three significant features: administration system, religious policy, and the foreign policy. It would not be an exaggeration to say that the revolution solved all those problems and clarified those doctrines on which this conflict was based, and England had to swallow the bitter pill of civil war. The following were its significant consequences. Now, end of despotism. The escape of James II along with the members of his family marred the principle of despotism. By this time, the theory of the divine right was prevalent in the country, by which the king was supposed to be the center of all powers. His will was regarded supreme, and the parliament was required to obey his commands. But as a consequence of the Glorious Revolution, a limited and constitutional monarchy was established in England. When William and Mary were enthroned in 1689, they had to take an oath of allegiance to Declaration of Rights. The provisions of this declaration were incorporated in the Bill of Rights and were given a legal shape. Now the King of England could reign in England within the limits of the Constitution. He could not impose his will and absolutism over the people of England. The executive and judiciary of England were separated due to the Glorious Revolution. Ramsay Muir observes, "From this monumentous and epoch-making event began the era of popular government in Britain, and the sovereignty slipped from the hands of absolute monarchs to those of the Parliament." Now, supremacy of the Parliament accepted. The conflict which had been going on among the Parliament, people and the sovereigns to clarify the position of the Parliament, came to an end. As a result of the Glorious Revolution of 1688, the Glorious Revolution gave its decision in favor of the Parliament. All the powers were brought under the control of the Parliament. Even the executive powers, slipping from the grip of the king, reached the hands of popular ministers who were responsible to the Parliament. The supremacy of the Parliament was approved by the Declaration of the Rights, and several restrictions were imposed on the powers of the king. The king was not empowered to impose taxes on the subjects. He was not permitted to increase his permanent army during peace period. Religious consequences. The Glorious Revolution affected the religious life very deeply and permanently. James II, by adopting a policy in favor of the Catholics, put a great impediment in the way of Protestant subjects of England and Anglican Church. But the escape of James II gave a severe blow to the development of Catholicism. Now there was no hope of restoration of Catholicism. The responsibility of the Church was given to the Parliament in place of the King. According to the Bill of Rights of 1689, it was decided that neither any follower of Catholicism nor any husband of Catholic woman would be allowed to sit on the throne of England. It was also decided in the Act of Settlement of 1701 that all the rulers of England would be Protestant in future. In this way, the impending danger of Catholicism in England was warded off forever. The Catholics continued to be tortured for a long time, and they had to suffer in the reign of the Protestant rulers. Now, influence on international politics. The Glorious Revolution not only influenced the history of England, but it was the most influential event of the European continent. It influenced the tripartite politics of England, France, and Holland. Prior to this revolution, the relations between England and France were cordial during the reign of Charles II and James II, as the rulers of both countries were the followers of Catholic religion. On the contrary, England was a Protestant country, and hence its relations with Holland were tense. Louis XIV of France tried to annex Holland several times. Therefore, a permanent rivalry cropped up between the two countries. There was also political rivalry between England and Holland. But this revolution brought about a significant change in the political sphere of the continent. And harmony was established in England and Holland as James II began to rule over the two countries. Another significant change was this, that France, which was a friend of England till now, became her enemy, and power and prestige of England was enhanced due to union of England and Holland. Ramsay Muir observes, from this momentous and epoch-making event began the era of popular government in Britain, and the sovereignty slipped from the hands of absolute monarch to that of the parliament. Thus, the Glorious Revolution influenced England and Europe extensively, and it gave a new direction to the history of England and Europe. Now, points to remember. James was declared the successor of Charles II in 1685, after his death, as Charles had no offspring. James was not so intelligent and far-sighted as his brother, therefore he was involved in various problems after his accession. However, he tried to attack them according to his wisdom. Now, domestic policy of James II. He was the follower of the theory of divine right and wanted to re-establish Catholicism in England. Conflict with Parliament was also a severe problem for him. Now, revolt of Monmouth. The illegitimate son of Charles II revolted against him, but he was defeated and put to death. James II and the Universities of England. He tried to intervene in the internal administration of the universities. Now, religious policies of James II. As he was the follower of Catholic religion, he tried to re-establish it in England. The Glorious Revolution, 1688. The revolution of 1688 came to be known as Glorious Revolution, as no blood was shed in it. Now, causes of revolution. First, lack of political farsightedness. Second, revolt of Monmouth. Third, partisan religious policy of the king. Fourth, issue of dispensing and suspending powers. Fifth, open violation of Test Act. 6th, arbitrary foreign policy. 7th, declaration of indulgence. 8th, imprisonment of 7 bishops. 9th, birth of James II's son. Consequences of the Glorious Revolution. 1st, end of despotism. 2nd, supremacy of the parliament accepted. 3rd, religious consequences.